welcome to season 3 of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Pilates teacher of over 23 years. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain, to feel good, relaxation, positive affirmation, and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind. For more relaxation, stretching, core stability, back strength, and happiness. Okay, so really excited. I've got a guest today for you on the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm really, really pleased to have the beautiful Bharti with us, Bharti Dear. So welcome, Bharti, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me here, Bev. I'm really very proud and honoured to be with you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
That's okay. So Bharti is a mum and also social worker of very, very many years, and also Hay House author of the wonderful book called Worth. And we actually met through being in the same magazine article, which was quite a synchronistic moment, I feel. That's how we got in touch. So do you want to, should we start at that point? And obviously you've then been doing Pilates with me. And today we're going to be getting you to share about your journey in both mindfulness Pilates and how it's helped you, but also your incredible memoir, which you very bravely share in your book, Worth. We're going to talk about that. And you're going to be sharing 3 amazing Worth tips, as well as a beautiful meditation for you all today. So I really hope you enjoy this. So do you want to start with your how we met or the your Pilates journey?
Well, let's start with how we met and then we can go on to the Pilates journey. Yeah. So, yeah, we met through you reached out to me, Bev, and you said we're on the same page. It was the Spirit and Destiny magazine, wasn't it?
Mm.
And I'd written, they'd interviewed me for my memoir. And I remember saying to you that I felt an instant soul connection. I feel like sometimes we meet people and we think, I've known you in a previous life. I don't know how, but I just felt that connection. And it was just incredible how I think destiny works, that, you know, I'm beginning to get to meet more and more people I feel connected to. And I feel like I've known them maybe lifetime ago or lifetimes ago. And you're one of those people, Bev. And I just felt an instant connection. I felt like you were meant to come into my life. Does that feel strange? But I felt like the angels were saying, you need to meet this woman. She's going to help you with your keep fit journey. Help you with your, you know, not just your keep fit but body image journey, but also, you know, you've empowered me in so many different ways through the different chats we've had. And I know you're an inspirational woman in your own right as well, Bev. So you've, you know, I've had the privilege of sharing some of my life with you, but you've also shared some of your life with me, and I feel very privileged and honored to know you. So, you know, I do feel that we were destined to meet.
yeah, thank you. Yeah, because it's not so usual if you're in a magazine article or you're in a newspaper to be necessarily always be in an article. It might be just about you and your story, but there we were alongside each other, and I was quite blown away, to be honest, very emotional reading your story. I was like, oh wow. And when you read a magazine, you don't necessarily want to pick up the phone or write to somebody necessarily, but in your instance, I felt quite strongly that I wanted to get in touch, and here we are. So yeah, you've obviously started some mindfulness Pilates. Now, what was the reason that you wanted to give it a go?
I think mindfulness Pilates was very different from the normal type of Pilates, in the sense that I think with the mindfulness there's like a spiritual connection as well, whereas if you do the normal sort of type Pilates, it's just like an exercise, and you don't actually go into your spiritual psyche to see what it means to you, what message it's giving to you. And that's what really attracted me. When I read your posts and I read some of the people that left posts on social media about mindfulness Pilates, it really struck a chord with me. And I thought, yeah, I really want to try this, because I think sort of nurturing your body is much more than just, you know, exercise. There's also the nurturing of the mind. There's the nurturing of the soul. And I felt that mindfulness Pilates was giving me that connection that I really wanted as well. So it's not just Pilates for the body, but Pilates for the mind too.
Yeah. And yeah, it's very true. It's very true. I mean, most people book in for the body. Okay, it might be a back pain or a hip pain or this and that going on, and they're wanting to come for the body. But as you say, it's exciting to know that it helps the mind just as much as the body. So how has it helped you? Now, you've just done a little one-to-one program at my Mindfulness Pilates Zoom studio so far. How has it helped you personally so far?
Obviously it's helped the body bit, the body part. I mean, I think I said to you in our last ever session that I couldn't even bend down to pull my socks off because I had such a chronic lower back pain. And the Pilates has really helped with the stretching exercises. It's really helped to strengthen my back, and I feel like my core is a lot more strengthened as well. Mm. So that has really strengthened my body, that part of the body that was quite weak. And I bend now without worrying about, you know, my back going or anything, just to do my socks. It was a very simple thing, but that's how it's really helped me. But I think what I've also got out of it is the journaling we did, you know. Mm, yeah. And said to me, start journaling. And I had stopped journaling for a long time. So I started doing that. And actually, it's the most useful exercise I can do on a daily basis. Yeah. It sort of helps collect my thoughts. It helps put into things the wonder of the world that we're living in, you know. When I, you know, the wonder of, so it's just simple little things, like when I'm doing journaling now, I'm actually being reminded of the beauty of life. It sounds a bit of a cliche to say, but honestly, really does. Journaling really helps collect the thoughts. It helps you appreciate the beauty of this. It helps you appreciate the wonder of this. So yeah, the journaling has brought me back into the creativity that I had stopped, you know, for a while. So yeah, actually reignited that sense of I want to write. I want to write, Bev. I'm really excited. I want to write. So, you know, it's helping me formulate my thoughts for my next book. So I'm really pleased about.
Oh, very good. Very good. Because, yeah, so during the, whether it's one-to-one program or class, like you've been doing the one minute journey. So we literally pick an affirmation, which we'll perhaps pick one, a bigger time to pick one now. Pick an affirmation from Happy and Calm cards, and then set an alarm for 1 minute, write down what that message is, and then you journal for 1 minute. So that's what got you back into it, which is brilliant. And when the alarm goes off, you stop writing, or you can carry on if you like, and then read what you've written. That the journaling that you wrote down in the sessions you did share with me, obviously it's confidential, top secret in one-to-one, it's only sharing together, or you can keep your journaling private. But you did share your journaling with me, and it was very inspiring. I was like, read that every day. That is inspirational, what you've written down.
thank you. Well, I think you got me back into that psyche of, you know, sometimes when you've written a book, you sort of think, okay, I've written a book, I do need want to write the next one, but you go into sort of a meditative state waiting for that development. But actually, you should be continuing. The journaling helped me, and the affirmations helped me to sort of think, yeah, you know what? I shouldn't. Yeah, it's good to meditate, but it's also good to carry on feeding that creative side. And that really, really helped.
That's brilliant. And obviously, as obviously we picked the affirmation, and we combine that with the journaling. So should we go for it and pick one now? Which will we? So you can do it different ways of journaling, as you know. Obviously, in the session, I picked a card for you, and then you can think about what it means to you, talk about what it means to you, and you've obviously been journaling about that card as well as talking. So for you at home listening, wherever you're listening, you can enjoy this message too. Best message for the podcast. So this one feels like it's jumping out today, so we'll go for this one. I am relaxed. I relax before bedtime. So when you're listening at home, you can have a think about what this means to you today. We will have a little chat about it, and then we can have a confer between all of us. So Barty, what does that mean to you today?
It definitely resonates with me today, because I do feel very relaxed. I've been away. I've had a week off work, and I feel very relaxed with my surroundings. It was lovely to come back home, even though it was a two-day break. It was lovely to come back home and to feel, you know, I'm in my space. I am relaxed with who I am and what I am, and I'm relaxed with what I've got around me and the abundance I have around me. Quite often, I think sometimes we sit and we think, oh, you know, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this. But just having that quiet moment of reflection and relaxation, it does the wonder of good for your mind. So that card actually is just, I think that card was right. Relax. I'm relaxed. I feel relaxed.
Yeah, I can
breathe. Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can come back to work. And I've also had nine, the first week off in the whole year, this, like you, and wow, it was really good. I went for a swim in the sea every day for 9 days in a row, as you know, and saw my favorite family as well as my son, as usual, and did tons and tons of mindfulness Pilates and self-care and extra hot and cold showers and dips in the sea. And it's interesting. I was a bit worried actually about coming back to work today, because it's like I had a new client at 8 o'clock this morning, then I had a 9:05 one-to-one program client, then I had a 10:15 class, and then I had to do some catch-up work before coming to see you on the podcast. And it's like, before I came along, I was thinking, gosh, that's a busy schedule, and the day carries on like that. And it's like, but actually, I feel, because I kept the timings good, I feel in control of the day, and like you, there is a relaxed, good, well-energized turning up, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. I mean, I think relaxation gives you that strength to carry on with the next part, which is the work part, the family part, you know, all that. So, I think relaxation is the ultimate form of self-care.
And interestingly, it's the first principle of Pilates, the first two principles of Pilates are relaxation and breathing. So how do you find the relax? It's all flowing, isn't it? It's leading into the next question. So how do you find the relaxation and breathing in the mindfulness Pilates?
The breathing has actually helped me to really take stock. I actually never realized before I did Pilates with you, how shallow my breathing was. And just taking that time to breathe, inhale, exhale, it sort of made me very conscious of my body, my breathing especially. And you know what, it's really helped I have got asthma. But I find that sort of the breathing exercises have really helped the asthma part. And it not only is it sort of useful for the asthma and helping me realize that I need to start breathing in a lot more deeply so that I get the oxygen into my lungs a lot more, you know, and I get that rhythm of breathing that sometimes we forget in the rush of life. But it's also helps focus the thoughts.
Yeah.
It helps focus the thoughts. So it's just a multitasking thing when you're doing that, inhaling, exhaling. inhaling, exhaling, you're just not just, it's not just helping your body, but it's actually helping you focus your thoughts as well. So yeah,
that's what and when there's so many things to think about whilst you're doing that breathing, so okay, if you're just doing the 1 minute meditation or the 5 minute one at the end, okay, you're just breathing and relaxing into it.
Yeah,
obviously a lot of the time you're doing your stretch with it, or you're doing a bit of visualization and goal setting with a stretch, or you're doing your core stability or back strengthening or overall strengthening whilst you're doing the breathing. So I think that helps, you find that really helps focus as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice one. How do you find it? How do you find it learning on at the Mindfulness Pilates Zoom studio in this way? Do you still find it very extremely tailored? And what's it like for you?
I find it because I'm flexible in the way I can choose the time to do it. I'm not really a person, I'm in the morning, I'm too much of a rush to get around doing things after I've done my meditation and my prayers. And then I take my little one to school. It's sort of, well, not so little, but still I take her to school. But I find that I don't really have much time. So I always fix a time around lunchtime before I have my lunch to do that stint. And that has actually helped with the relaxation as well. The fact that I'm not fixed on a fixed time with a, you know, I have to do this at this time. No, I can take my, I can pace myself. I can do it at this time. If I don't get to do it at this time, it doesn't matter. I can do it at this time. So that's really helped the relaxation part as well. And I actually enjoy it. I enjoy
it. Yeah, good.
You're very clear in the way you describe things. And so it feels like you're in the room with me, Beth.
So you're doing the little 6 minute practice video that I gave you.
Yes, because it's so realistic. I'm thinking, I can't do this in my bra and panties. me.
I give you things to practice. So the idea is you practice 6 minutes a day minimum, and that really helps, you know, keep you, you know, improving and maintenance, and then you can add a bit more extra in if you want to. And then obviously the hour sessions then keep you progressing and building on where you're at.
Yeah. And you know, Bev, it's what's really struck me is actually 6 minutes to 10 minutes is more than enough.
It's really good.
You don't need a half an hour or an hour. You just don't need it. Six to 10 minutes, because you've sent me some extra little videos as well. So I sort of try and do a little bit of those as well. And so it can stretch to 10 minutes. And then I do a little bit of mindfulness, you know, like a little meditation or do an affirmation. And that really helps as well. So, yeah, I think it's good, very good practice. Very, very good.
Yeah, it's a really good combination. And yeah, as you say, when you have a bit more time, you can add an extra core stability exercise in, you can add an extra back strengthening, or whichever bit of you need a bit of extra strengthening, or if you need a bit of extra, you know, back maintenance stretches, you add in a bit of extra of that on a day when you have a bit more time. But you know, the 6 minutes as a basis is just fantastic because it's so achievable, which you're doing really well at. So hooray for this. So should we talk a bit now? So thank you so much for sharing your mindfulness Pilates journey so far. So you're off into class next at the Zoom studio. So you're looking forward to that?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. It's going to be really, really nice. So we're going to talk now a little bit about your memoir, Worth, your beautiful book. And if you'd be happy to share a little bit about your journey, and then you're going to share three tips for you listening.
Yeah, so Worth is really about Worth. Let me start with why I wrote Worth. It started with me going to a funeral, and a young woman stood up, and she was the daughter of the man who had died, and obviously we knew the man, and she'd been estranged from her father for a while, and she came on at the very end from a long list of people that did their tributes to her dad. And she said that she had learnt more about her father and his life and his passions and his interests in all the years, in that 1 hour of that funeral that she had, in all the time she'd ever spent with him. And she regretted being estranged from him. And I remember thinking, you know what, I've adopted a child and I really want, you know, my child's got her life story. So she knows a little bit about how she came to be adopted and why. But I thought, I don't want my child to be standing here one day when I've passed and saying, I didn't really know my mum. And I thought, you know, I've got a story to tell and I want to empower my child. She's female. I want her to know, you know, that it doesn't matter what circumstances you were born in or, you know, and what circumstances have hit you in your life, but you can get through it. And so I thought, you know, I really want to tell her my story. I want to tell her about my life. So she's got a book to read, which says, you know, this was my mum. And this is what got my mum through the tough times that she had, and hopefully to inspire her and maybe my nieces in my family to learn that, you know, you don't need to go under when life hits you, you know, with some of the dark patches that we go through in life. And so originally, Worth was not really written for the wider audience. It was written for my daughter, because I really wanted to give her that story. So I started writing, and then Hay House came up with a competition called Diverse Wisdom. And, you know, I just still lacked confidence. I was writing my story. It was just a personal thing between me and my child. And my niece read a chapter. She said, please, can I read it? So it was all written longhand, because I'm not typing savvy, neither am I technology savvy. And she said, this is incredible. You need to submit this to the Diverse Wisdom competition that Hay House are running for BME writers. And I said, no. Anyway, to cut a long story short, a minute to midnight, after a lot of haranguing from my niece, I kept ringing me saying, I'm going to come over. I'm going to type that chapter. I'm going to send it in for you. I actually submitted a chapter, although I didn't win the competition, Hay House were very interested in Worth, and they were very interested in, so that's how it got published. So Worth is essentially about me growing up in the 60s. I was abandoned on a roadside in a box in Uganda, and I subsequently got adopted by a Punjabi Asian Sikh family. So Worth explores my whole story from, I guess it's the story of prejudice, you know, the initial prejudice, the prejudice around a child being illegitimate. So in the 60s, it was really frowned upon for somebody, a child, to be born illegitimate. So exploring that and that sort of realization of that sort of prejudice, but also being the cultural part of it, where people started seeing me as either lucky or unlucky, you know, and sort of viewed me in that way, that I was either a lucky child because I brought my family luck. You know, my father won the football pools when shortly after I arrived in the family, and that reinforced that sort of Hindu type of I guess mythology that, oh yeah, this child has brought luck into the family. So depending on which perspective a person came from, that was how they reacted towards me. And then Worth explores the whole story of adoption, you know, and, you know, the prejudice related to that, and how some of my family, extended family, shunned my mum and dad, saying, you're actually bringing a lot of dishonor onto the family by adopting this strange child. And she's going to basically do what her birth mother did, which was the disgraceful, dishonorable thing by having a child herself. And she's going to bring great dishonor, and you're not going to be able to get people to marry your other children. you know, it's a dishonorable thing that you're doing. So, you know, just exploring the whole issue of adoption of a girl. My parents being told, well, if you're going to adopt a boy, why are you adopting a girl? You know, the prejudice related to race, people saying to my family, oh, she's dark skinned. Nobody's going to marry her. She's not pretty. And also, you know, people are going to think, saying to my dad, people are going to think you've had an affair, you know, with an African woman and you brought this child in. So, you know, and again, the whole issue of dishonor and, you know, so the Worth sort of explores that. So the reason I wrote the title Worth was because, you know, those sort of messages, those sort of insidious messages can affect a child's self-esteem, can affect a child's sense of worth. I grew up thinking I wasn't pretty, not by Western standards and not by Eastern standards. So I didn't see the worth of myself. I looked in the mirror, I used to literally think I was ugly because I was comparing myself to Eastern beauty, Western beauties. I've written about that in the book. You know, then also this whole concept of, you know, I used to shrink into myself thinking I really shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be alive. Why was I saved? You know, because people are looking down upon me because of my heritage, because of being dual heritage, African, Asian. So Worth explores all of that. And then it explores the refugee experience. So that's really, you know, if you look at the Ukrainian and what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening around the world, you know, Syria, you know, Iraq, you know, and Palestine and countries like that, you know, the whole refugee experience, people being displaced because one person has decided that they do not want, they want to eradicate that race, or they do not want certain people. So in my family's case, in 1972, Idi Amin decided to expel all the Asians from Uganda. So I've written about that experience. And there's a chapter called A Mother's Courage, where my mum was told at gunpoint to leave me behind by the Ugandan soldiers. And, you know, she was just so courageous and just said, no, you know, she's my child and I'm not going to leave her behind. So, you know, and it took, it still takes my breath away, you know, that she was so brave. That sort of level of courage, there's no truer love than a mother being prepared to say, I know you could shoot me today now for disobeying your order. I know you can shoot my whole family and then take my daughter. But, you know, my mom stood steadfast. She said it was her faith. She knew nothing was going to happen. But she refused that order to leave me behind. And then there was the, you know, leaving Uganda, just a description of sort of the refugee type, the type of stories you hear about Ukraine currently, very similar sort of scenarios that the Asians went through leaving Uganda. And then I've sort of written about the sort of prejudice and the racism my family experienced living in a council estate. You know, we were housed in a council estate and we had bricks through the window. We had graffiti on our walls, you know, telling us to get out. And, you know, that was also, you know, that was also very, very harrowing, I would say, traumatic experience going through that. You know, you've left one harrowing and traumatic experience and then you come to the next one. But the overall message in Worth is about forgiveness. You know, forgiving is such a key part to growing, you know, and to just living. If you can't forgive and you live with hatred in your heart, it actually stops you progressing. And Worth is all about reclaiming my worth through forgiveness, through understanding that there is an immense love there from the universe for you, you know. It took me a long time. I actually feel I was visited by an angel, and that's actually that was the turning point for me. It was the epiphany moment when this angel said to me, I was lying in bed thinking, I wish I'd never been born, as usual. And then this angel came to me and said, well, you can either decide you're never going to face the world and lock yourself away, if that's the option you wish to choose, or you can decide that you're going to give this up now. You're going to give up this self-hatred. You're going to give this up now, and you're going to look people in the eye, and you're going to believe that you have a right to live and right to live a worthy life. Doesn't matter what people say about you or think about you. So following that sort of half dream, half visit, I do really believe it was a visit. I changed my perception, and it wasn't a miraculous perception in that I bounced out of bed. You know, yes, mm-hmm. The times when I still went back to the sort of depression and that sort of lack of self-worth. But I think I had to make a conscious step of saying to myself, I'm not going to let anybody put me down anymore. I'm not going to hold myself back anymore. I have a right to exist. I'm loved by God. I'm loved by angels. I'm held by angels. I've been protected. I almost feel like when I was left on that roadside in Kabale, I was protected for a reason. I have a purpose in life. We all have a purpose in life. We all do. No matter what we're going through, we all have a purpose, and we've all been brought to earth for that purpose. So, you know, let's find that purpose and let's try and live it. And so I think that was the turning point. So I did have health problems. I've talked about having lupus. I've talked about having this skin condition called epidermolysis bullosa. So more commonly, butterfly skin. It's when, you know, your skin blisters up and you look like somebody's actually literally thrown some boiling water on you, and your whole skin's blistered up. So I went through that for a long time. But yeah, you know, I'm here. I'm a survivor. I've survived by God's grace. I've survived by the angels holding me, protecting me, guiding me, supporting me, comforting me. And my story is called Worth, just so that I want people to recognize their worth and to be inspired by what they have to offer, you know, themselves, most importantly, but also what they have to offer to the world.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing all of that, Bharti. All I can say is read Bharti's book, because if you're interested in what Bharti said, her book is, well, it's one of the most powerful books you'll ever read. And yeah, it's just amazing. Would you like to share your first tip on worth for everyone?
Yes. So I think it goes, you know, I think one of the key tips I would say is, I'm going to read out an affirmation from Worth. It says, my worth says that every negative experience is a flame. When I refuse to give it air, it is extinguished and has no power over me. Mm. And I think that's really important as a tip. You know, we all go through negative experiences. We all have experiences that not just bring down our sense of worth, but bring down our sense of belief at times, self-belief. There are times we may not feel loved. There may be times when people belittle or devalue our sense of worth. So it says, every negative experience is a flame, but don't give it air. And when you don't give it air, it is extinguished. It has no power over you. And that's my... If anybody's going through any negative experience, don't give a lot of thought to that negative experience. Don't let it consume you. Don't let it consume your soul and your being. Just say, I refuse to dwell on this. I refuse to dwell on it. I refuse to give this negative experience power over me, you know, and define who I am. I'm going to concentrate on the positives. And you'll find that that negative experience will start dwindling. That flame gets extinguished.
That is just a great, that's a great tip. I think that's a big part of why I love teaching what I teach, because I'm doing it A for myself. Obviously I like teaching it, but A for myself and B for others. It's like, you don't want to dwell on all of that. I mean, you've got to find solutions, but the more you focus on things that are going to do you good, the more that does extinguish. So yeah, have a think about what this means to you where you're listening right now. And thank you, Bharti, for that one. I had my sister today last week, and we were saying that when something negative or stressful or big challenge comes along, or sometimes it's an ongoing one, or sometimes with external people or whatever it might be, rather than talking about it, it's good to voice it and express how you feel, but give it a limit. So we're like, right, 15 minutes maximum of moaning, and then we get, that's the limit, and then we move on to what we want to be doing, want to talk about, or solution finding within that, as opposed to moan. The only thing you talk about or whatever is that honing in on that one thing, but rather than opening up to all the other gratitudes and amazing things.
And you know, when you sit and talk like that, you know, I don't know if you noticed, Beth, but if I'm sitting in a company where people are just moaning, I just start physically feeling drained.
Yeah.
Mentally drained. I'm like, there is, you know, you can almost feel that mist of darkness descending.
Oh, absolutely. But there's even research on that now. In Dr. David Hamilton's latest book, Why Woo Woo Works, he quotes research in there on how when a happy person's with a really negative moaning person, how you can end up more feeling like that person. Yeah. There's even research on it now. I mean, a lot of people knew that was likely the case, but there is actual research on that now, so we've got to watch it, everyone. Okay, tip two
is another affirmation that I think that's really important, is today is the day I say enough to a lack of self-belief, so the roots of my worth can take hold and finally grow. And I wrote that just because I want people to think, you know, there comes a time when you just have to say enough. It's, you know, above, you know, once in our mindfulness Pilates session, you know, the affirmation came saying, I am enough. And, you know, hold on to that. So I don't want to minimize anybody's negative experiences, but there has to come a time when a person says enough, 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 enough. And I really believe that somebody can have the strength to say, that is enough. I've had enough of this lack of self-belief or lack of self-worth or demeaning myself or devaluing myself. I've had enough of doing it. You know, once you can say enough, I'm not going to give this, you know, I'm not going to carry on in this negative self-belief situation. That's the time when you're actually saying to that little root of worth, I'm going to let that self-worth grow now.
Absolutely.
And it has to come with us saying enough to that. It has to. So, you know, my work, social worker, I often get young people who are looked after will say, yeah, but, you know, this happened to me and that happened to me. And I say, how long are you going to continue letting that negative thing take control of you? There comes a time when you, in order for you to grow spiritually, in order for you to grow in yourself and have that self-confidence and value yourself, you have to start by saying enough. Absolutely enough. I'm no longer going to do it. I'm no longer going to feed, you know, I'm no longer going to be negative on myself. No longer.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's just brilliant, Bharti, what you're saying here. And I think with the mindfulness Pilates and all of these self-help tools, and as you mentioned, the affirmation, you are from the affirmations, you are enough, say to yourself, I am enough. And then we do that with movements to, and then that it's about using these at the next stage, using all these different tools in the recovery stage. But then it's not just the recovery stage, then it's in the flourishing stage, then it's in the flying stage. And then just basically life is like the waves of the sea. It helps you during the good, challenging and sad times of life. So if you have enough of these, you know, different things in place, it can keep you strong in mind, body, spirit, everything, work, business.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bharti. Tip three, what does it mean to you listening? What does it mean to you listening? Have a big think about these. Okay, tip three, Bharti. Thank you. Last one for you.
The third one I would say is that every time I raise my voice against an injustice meted out to me or someone else, I water the seeds of my worth. And I think that's really important as a Black female to say that, because there are so many injustices, you know, in this world, and the injustice of prejudice is one. So obviously I've talked about racism in worth. I've also, you know, I'm also part of the disability rights movement. I'm also I feel very passionately about any form of prejudice towards any person, you know, in relation to their color, their sex, their sexuality, you know, all the isms apply here. And I just feel very strongly that, you know, we all have a right to live our lives free from prejudice, free from being persecuted because of who we are or what we are. So that affirmation is, every time I raise my voice against an injustice meted out to somebody, I'm actually letting my worth grow. So I feel more empowered regarding my worth, because it helps me understand, you know, even more, it helps my confidence grow, that actually I am actually helping somebody else as well. I am with somebody when there is any injustice or prejudice or anything being meted out to them. If I speak out against it, I'm actually letting my own worth grow. Mm. If I sit and am quiet and I do not say anything out of fear or out of embarrassment or out of, you know, I just don't want to be involved in this, I'm actually letting my worth shrivel up. So I found through experience that when I've been able to be a voice against an injustice that's being meted out to somebody, my worth has actually grown stronger. Mm. My confidence has grown stronger. Yeah. Because I'm being true to my values and beliefs. Mm. And it's a really difficult thing to explain. I hope it makes sense what I'm saying.
It's interesting. I took it as other meanings as well. And obviously I was listening, and I think this can take it in, you know, have a think for you listening, what that means to you. I think it's very, very important, very powerful, what you've just said. Very, very powerful. I think it's part of why, well, it's a big part. I think one of my favorite things in my work is, yes, to be strong in mind, body and business and all those things, but it's ultimately for everyone to live happily ever after and have a fantastic toolbox for that.
Yeah.
And I really discovered clearly three of my main values recently. But the reason I'm chatting about this, about having a voice, I want everyone to have a voice to express how you feel, from people to feel from, right from the little ones, right from the children to the adults. But when someone like you and me have been through a very traumatic past, but look at us now, we are living our best life and we're here to help and inspire others.
Absolutely.
But one of the things I want to say about the voice thing is, the more you share your voice, the more I share my voice also by being a guest on other people's podcasts. It's not always easy, but it's important because, of course, that is then helping, you know, making a difference to other people's lives in a positive way.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to go into a beautiful meditation by the beautiful Bharti now, and it's a worth meditation, especially for you. So we really hope you enjoy this now.
So welcome to today's worth meditation. So just take a breath in and a breath out and relax and get yourself really comfortable sitting or lying down. If you'd like to tuck yourself up in a cozy blanket, you can, and just breathe and relax and enjoy absorbing these beautiful worth affirmations.
I believe I'm worth it. Every moment, every second, all day and all night. Today is the day I say enough to a lack of self-belief so the roots of my worth can take hold and finally grow. When I allow my self-worth to rise, negative thoughts and feelings evaporate. I believe in the power of my worth. My worth says that every negative experience is a flame. When I refuse to give it air, it is extinguished and has no power over me. Every time I raise my voice against an injustice meted out to me or someone else, I water the seeds of my worth. No person has the right to take my spirit just because they don't like something about me, my beliefs, my values, or my lifestyle. Worth is knowing what I want and going for it without fear. Worth is standing up and claiming my right to be free of any emotion that stops me from progressing in life. Worth is accepting and celebrating who I am. Worth is holding a mirror to myself, not comparing myself to others. Despite my doubts and worries, my worth remains steadfast and will always be my strength. I appreciate my life more because of my sense of worth and the person it has taught me to be. When I show compassion to others, both my worth and my confidence grow. And those are my affirmations.
Beautiful. And just breathe and relax. Thank you so much.
So really hope you enjoyed the beautiful meditation by Bharti, inspired from Bharti's book Worth, obviously worth a read. And we'd love you know to let us know how you benefit and enjoyed, you know, and felt inspired by today's podcast with Bharti. Have you got, before you let us know your website and of course where to find you, have you got a parting one or two parting words before we go today about your mindfulness Pilates journey or about worth or anything like that?
I think the key thing I would just say to anybody who's listening and watching is just be yourself and believe that you are enough. You know, we're all enough. Just believe in yourself. And just take that thought and keep repeating it. You know, say in the morning, in the mirror, I am enough. I am enough. And even if you don't believe it, after a while, it will seep into your psyche and you will start believing it and get stronger. So that's that's what I learned from my mindfulness Pilates, but also hopefully sort of emphasize that from my book, Worth, as well.
Yeah, it's a beautiful combination. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And adding the I am enough in the mirror is very powerful. And make sure your posture is really good when you do it. So make sure you're sitting or standing tall. And you can also add in movements as well, like hands on your hips and hands at the side of the neck, squeeze your elbows back, arms in the air. These are all very powerful movements which empower and give you even more inner strength, which brings more happiness, confidence, success, self-esteem building, as well as, you know, physiologically with your posture and more strength. And then it infuses even more into your body and mind as you do it as well. It's another way of doing it. You can do it on its own as well, of course. It's amazing. Well, where can everyone find you, your website, Bharti?
Well, my website is called bhartidear.com. So that's got the whole Worth and, you know, the summary of Worth on it. I'm also on social media, on Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, so people can find me on that, on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, lovely. I'll put that all in the show notes for everybody.
Look up this unique name, Bharti Deer.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm Bharti Deer in the world. Well, I feel that. So, yeah, you'll find me very easily on Instagram and Facebook. Yes, yeah.
And as you know, Bharti, you are enough.
Yeah, I am enough.
And you listening, you are enough too. And know your worth. And I really hope this interview with Bharti has helped and inspired you in big or small ways today. Thank you so much, Bharti.
Thank you, Bev. Thank you.
Lots of love.
And to you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access my free healing meditation and Pilates to ease back pain in 3 minutes on my website. You can also book your reduced back pain to feel good one-to-one Mindfulness Pilates program on Zoom or Mindfulness Pilates membership by going to mindfulnesspilates.com.